Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been doing a series on the foundation of the kingdom, and today we're going to look at the mystery of the kingdom. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious, everlasting God, we are so grateful for your mercy that is ever new in the morning, is ever fresh day by day, is ever available to us. The throne of grace is open to us by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father God, for always being available to us. We ask you today to meet with us, share with us, open our hearts, open our minds to understand you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, and as you probably know, we've been doing a series on the kingdom. And we did a lot of background laying about the Gospels because I talk about it a lot over the years, and I wanted to just put it down for you. So the reason I'm just saying kingdom is because in Matthew, it is most of the time, the huge majority of time, referred to as the kingdom of heaven. But in Mark and Luke, it is never, ever called the kingdom of heaven. It is always called the kingdom of God. And those differences have to do with the assignment of the writer and to whom they were writing. We've covered that. Then we've looked at the King of the Kingdom, which is what we were looking at last week. And so we took time to read this same passage, this same teaching in all three of the Gospels. And we know there's a fourth one, but we know why it is kind of kept over to the side. That's John, in which he is the Son of God. These three have to do more with that earthly teaching and tying and understanding for us. So these are called the Synoptic Gospels. And they are very, very similar, but they have changes. It's important on what's the same, but it's also important on what's different. Think about you and your siblings, if you have siblings. It's important the things that you have in common. Maybe you all have a musical ear, or maybe you all have an aptitude toward math, or maybe you all have a great sense of humor. That's inborn many times. That's part of who you are. It's what you have in common. But there are things that are very specific to you, and that those differences are equally important, but for a very different way, to differentiate you, that each of us is valuable in our own right, but then there's also what we have in common. So that being said, you know, we kind of looked at the Gospels that way. Last week, we read this same thing. We said we were going to look at the kingdom. And I said that if you want to understand the kingdom, you got to go to the man who can explain it. There are a lot of people who may have ideas and may have wonderful, you know, interpretations to spin, but the man who is the king is the one who can talk about the kingdom. And so Jesus said, who is the king of the kingdom, he said, let me go back and pick up one of those places where he says it. I've got to go to a different one. When he says, what shall I liken the kingdom unto? Or with what comparison shall I compare it? So this is the king of the kingdom explaining to us the heart of the kingdom. And then we see this one central parable, and we're going to get to that in a minute, and what we commonly call the parable of the sower. Okay, so I'll just take time now. We call it the parable of the sower. But as I read it and think about it, it's like, well, that's kind of misleading, because the sower is always the same. The seed is always the same. The difference is not in the sower. The difference is not in the seed. It says, and the sower sows the word. The sower is always the same, and the seed that the sower sows is always the same. It is the word. The differences were on what environment it was received into. Some places it fell on stony ground. Some places it fell on ground where it grew and was choked by lots of other weeds. So, you know, and I used to say that people would ask me about, you know, Africa, what's the difference between Africa and America? And, you know, the body of Christ, or, you know, what spiritual things. And I'd say that they are the same but completely opposite in this. The biggest need in Africa was for more. They lacked things. You know, it couldn't help it. They lacked things, and that can drive you. You know, remember I told you last time about the prayer that I believe it was David. It might have been Solomon. They're both pretty smart guys. They said, one thing I ask of you, Lord, sort of two things. One thing I ask of you, Lord, is don't give me so little that I'm desperate and I curse you. But don't give me so much that I get so lifted up with myself that I ignore you. That's kind of a loose interpretation. And that's really, you know, it's like you can have so little that it consumes you and you don't keep God in your mind. On the other hand, you can have so much. In Africa, I would say people would die of starvation. And I don't mean just physically. They're just so much they lack. But in America, if anything, we die because we choke on too much stuff. We have too much things, and it can choke that thing. So the prayer that you know, the man of God prayed, just it resonates in my soul. God, I just ask for one thing. Don't give me so little that I'm so desperate I curse you. But also, don't give me so much that I begin to think I don't need you, that I begin to be lifted up with myself. You know, and that's just a good place for us to be, not with things even, but in our spirit. If my prayers are never for anybody but me, I'm doing something wrong. But if I'm so full of things that I never have to ask the Lord for anything, it's just, oh, thank you, you gave me this, and thank you, you gave me that. I believe in gratitude. But, you know, we can get so, that's what the Pharisees were. They thought they had it together. And so that when the Messiah came, they just flat out missed him. Amen. So the king of the kingdom, the sower is the same for all of them. The seed is the same for all of them. So we commonly call it the parable of the sower, but I don't know. I think it should be called the parable of the soil, because it really is more about the parable of the soil. It's like we talk about the parable of the prodigal son. Well, really, both of the sons were prodigal in a different way. One was prodigal physically, but the other one was prodigal in his heart. He stayed there, but he resented having to be there and having to do the work and what his brother got. They both were prodigal to the father of the heart, the heart of the father, weren't they? But the parable really isn't about the sons. The parable is about the father. So I don't call it the parable of the prodigal son. In my heart, I call it the parable of the forgiving father. Because it isn't about the prodigal sons, it's about the forgiveness of the father. The same, and we'll look at that one next week, the parable, when we talk about the mustard seed. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Well, we always talk about the mustard seed, but the point of the parable is when you plant it, it grows up into a big tree. So I don't call it the parable of the mustard seed. I call it the parable of the mustard tree, because that's the end of it. Amen? All right, so the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. All right? Now, we saw that it was in each of the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, and we saw the little subtle differences, but we saw that, and I'm sure that Jesus taught it over and over and over to different crowds, and so we're not saying, oh, somebody got it wrong. They show different aspects of it. It's the same thing. I can teach the same message. I can preach the same sermon. But if I do it in a different place, sometimes it takes on just a little bit different shade to it, depending on who's in the congregation at the time. Okay? But the word, the core is the same. So they have it. They have some subtle differences. We know that two of them talked about 30, 60, 100-fold. One of them talked about 100-fold and abundance. So let me see what else. As I said, one of them talked about kingdom of heaven. The other two talked about kingdom of God. One of them talked about the way you get the 100-fold return is that the word is sown in an honest, good heart with patience. The others don't say that. So, but there are these differences, but it is the same parable. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Amen? So we read that. We saw all that. So and I told you that we were talking about the king of the kingdom, but today we're going to talk about the mystery of the kingdom. Now, we're going to backtrack just a tiny, tiny bit because we read that. We saw that. And I want to go to Mark 4:13, which we read and talked about. But I want to reiterate this. Why am I spending so much time on this? To understand the kingdom, you have to understand how the king looks at the kingdom. So if the king of the kingdom says to you, this is how I explain the kingdom, this is how I compare it, this is how I teach it, I figure it's worth understanding. Amen. Now, of all the parables, because we know Jesus taught in many parables, but then there's this remarkable point that he makes about it. So we're in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. I reiterate. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? That is the parable of the sower, quote unquote. And how then will ye know all parables? In other words, this parable is the key to the kingdom. Now, so what is the mystery of this parable? What is the mystery of this? What is the mystery? This, if you understand this parable, you unlock understanding to all the parables. And so what is the key? What is the mystery of these parables? This parable or these parables, if you want to put it. Now, we read a scripture in each of them. Again, I'll go back and read it in each of the Synoptic Gospels. So that you see it's there. Let's start with Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. He answered, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. the mysteries of heaven, amen, because we're in Matthew, the mysteries of heaven. But to them, it is not given, okay? So there's a mystery here. For, this is the reason, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. I told you that Matthew talked about the abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Okay, that's going to take some explaining. Or as Desi would do, we got some splaining to do. Okay, so that was Matthew. Now we're going to flip over to Luke. And we're going to land back in Mark, but we're going to Luke. I want you to see it's in all three, and there are little differences. So if we read all of them together, we should have a better understanding of them. Luke, we're in chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. See, that was, again, a little subtle difference of this one. It's talking about how you hear. The others say, take heed to what you hear. But, you know, it's not just what we hear, it's how we hear what we hear. It amazes me when you can, there are people, I work with a lot of folk, and I counsel a lot of folk, and it's interesting to me that you can say the same thing to one person, and one person will take it as condemnation and judgment. The other will take it as affirmation and encouragement. You know, I remember, well, I won't take time to go into that story, but we hear the same thing, but we interpret it differently. So the others talk about take heed what you hear, but Luke is very, very clear to saying take heed how you hear what you hear, okay? So we're in verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever, again, this is whosoever, and Luke talks about whosoever because his heart is for the Gentiles. His heart is bigger than just the sons of Abraham. He has a heart for everyone. Okay, that's where his calling is. The same way as, you know, Peter was called to the Gentiles, but Paul was called as an apostle, Peter was called as an apostle to the children of Israel, the Christians in the children of Israel. But Paul was called as an apostle to the Gentiles, and he proudly says that in every single one of the beginning of his gospels. Sometimes we have confusion in ministry when we have confusion in our calling. Not everybody, we all have the same spirit. We all have the same internal gift of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But some people have a gift for teaching. There are some people who I think are so brilliant, but I listen to them teach and I can't figure out what they're saying because they jump all over. But by the time they're done, I'm lifted and I'm encouraged. Amen. There are some people who can't string together two scriptures, but ooh, when they pray, your toes curl. I know, and I'm talking about just physically, not emotionally. Heaven moves, okay? So a lot of it is you got to know what your calling is and pursue it. Keep it at the front of your mind. When Paul wrote the epistles to the churches, he wasn't just writing this for their sake. He was writing it also for his sake. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, who are blah, 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 to the children of God, to the churches of blah, blah, blah. He is an apostle, okay? So anyway, you know that. But I just want to encourage you, keep your calling. And if you're not clear on it, hold up with God until you're clear. And then when the door opens, run with all your might. Amen? Okay, so here he says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever, Luke is called to the whosoevers. Whosoever hath, take heed therefore how you hear, this is Luke 8:18, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. That word seemeth is in there. Okay? And this is important because it isn't in the other two Gospels. So you might want to underline that one, because he's talking about how you hear and he's talking about what seems. Okay? But we see that this mystery is bound up in this concept here that Jesus keeps teaching. All right? And that it's available to whosoever. Listen, if it doesn't matter who you are, if you call on the name of Jesus, believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what country you're from, doesn't matter your education level, doesn't matter whether you're tall, short, young, old, whosoever calls on the name, they shall be saved. All right? The same thing is true. What he's trying to tell you is this is a principle. It isn't like, well, some of the people who are called like this can get that, and some people are given this. No, Apostle had shared a teaching the other day, and it just blessed me so much to hear that taught again and again, that we have the same spirit. We may need to utilize different giftings in our ministries, but that spirit inspires all of them. They are all open to all of us when we need that. And the scriptures say, you know, whatever it is you need, that's the one that's the most important then. It's not like one is better than the other. Amen. You can have a Mercedes-Benz, but if you got no gasoline, you ain't going anywhere. So if you got a jalopy, but you got a full tank of gas, you're going to go somewhere. Amen. The gift that's important right then is the gift of gasoline, you see. So anyway, but there we go. That was it from Luke 8. Now we're going to go back to Mark. So we've seen it on all of them, and I'm going to read it. This is where I read it from, I think, last week. Mark chapter 4. But you see it's in all of them. I'm going to read verses 24 and 25. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, or how you hear what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear shall more be given. Okay? So we have hear and we also have. Okay. Verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And this, the kernel in this principle, the kernel in this truth, is the mystery of the kingdom. Amen? Jesus told us that. But it talks with what measure you meet, it is measured to you again. I'm going to stop there for a minute and talk about that, because I've heard so many different explanations of this, and I think they kind of missed the point. I hate to say it, but I think so. Somebody said, "Oh yeah, take with what measure you meet, it's measured to you again." Okay. So if and then they'll say things like, if you use a spoon to give, then you get back spoons full, you know, and if you use a shovel, then the measure you get back is the shovels. If you give, you know, in other words, but that all is, let's use something bigger. If you use a bucket, if you give with a bucket full, you'll get back in buckets. Well, that is, there's a direct correlation is what they're saying, but the measure is the same. The measure is one for one, or, you know, the measure is, however you measure, that's how it's measured back to you. That's a direct correlation, okay? In other words, if you measure out in spoons, you get back in spoons. If you measure out in buckets, you get back in buckets. That is the same measure. You may use a different container, but it's with what you give, that's what comes back. So that's the same measure. It's not a different one. Well, then what's a different one? Okay? And let me look to Job for a minute. When he said, that which I was afraid of has come unto me, and that which I feared has come upon me. All right? So, and remember, he was so afraid that his children would depart from the Lord, that he made sacrifices on their behalf. And what you see from that which I was afraid of has come unto me, and that which I feared has come upon me. All right. That measure is the more I fear something, the more it comes on me. I use an example, and maybe you kind of understand this. If you want to, you're at somebody's house and they have a pet, and you want them to come to you, but they're afraid of you. You don't go, come here right now. You don't do that. Same with children. If somebody has a shy toddler and you want to make friends with them, you don't say, your name's Annabelle. Come over here, Annabelle. They don't come over. But if you kind of scrunch down onto their level and you use a soft, entreating voice, hello, come here. We can be friends. And they know that you're not threatening, then they come to you. In other words, the more you pursue them, the farther they run from you. But when you just are still and invite it to come to you, some of you know that's how sometimes the Spirit of God works. The more you're chasing something, a word from the Lord, the quieter it gets. Whatever is the equivalent of Holy Ghost crickets. Amen. But sometimes when you just relax and let your heart be open to God, boom. There are services and certain programs I go to. And I really don't even, this sounds bad, I don't mean it like this, but it really doesn't make that much difference who the speaker is. It doesn't even make a difference what their topic is. Their topic could be something far, but as I'm just in the presence of God, a word will drop into my heart, and I'll know that's from God because of the environment in me, and I'm open to it, and it comes to me. I don't have to pursue it. The more I pursue it, the more it runs away from me. That's a different kind of measure, isn't it? Okay. Let me give you a different kind of measure. It's like what the one's like, well, if I give this, then I'll get that. That's a direct correlation. I have a friend whose measure is gratitude. She never pursues anything, but she has one of the most, not only is she grateful, she has taught that to her children, to her grandchildren, and now to her great-grandchildren. And her you know, tagline is, get back to grateful. That when you find yourself far out there, just get back to grateful. So when we're grateful, then things come to us too. So you see, it's not, when we talk about with what measure, that doesn't mean shovel for shovel, spoon for spoon. It can mean various things, can't it? One of my prayers, my heart prayers is, you know, when I have something that I need from God or that I can't do, my prayer is, God, let me do for somebody else what they can't do for themselves. And then you do something for me that I can't do for myself. Or have somebody come and do it for me that I can't do for myself. The more I seek to help somebody what they need, and I focus on their lack, and I try to see I can help that. See, you know, again, this one of my standards is when the widow came to the prophet and was crying, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, I'm going to take my sons, and all she had was her complaints. And the prophet said, go borrow vessels. Well, what got her in trouble before was borrowing. She was in debt. Amen. But now what she's doing is borrowing something empty that now she can take it back to her neighbors full. She went to all her neighbors and borrowed all the empty vessels. And then when God multiplied the oil, she took it back to them full. She sold it to them. So that's a completely different kind of measure. Do you understand what I'm saying? With what measure you meet, it's measured to you again. We have to understand our own measure. Amen? All right, I'm kind of getting a little far afield, but I wanted you to understand that. That's what he says is the key to this. So now we come to what is the mystery. Verse 24, 25. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And tell you that here shall more be given. Well, we would say, well, to whoever gives, more is given. No, it's to whoever hears. Again, your measure doesn't have to do with how much. It has to do with how you hear. Oh, there's a mystery for you. Verse 25. For to him that has, to him more shall be given. I'm going to just kind of combine them all here. And to him that hath not, even that which he has will be taken away. Ooh, let me tell you about this one. When I really begin to read that, sometimes we read these things so religiously that we don't really think about them. Now, here's Jesus. I mean, the Son of God. Here's Jesus. When he wanted to feed the thousands, he had so much left over. He said, now gather it all up. God, he's a God of abundance. If he feeds you, there'll be baskets of crumbs left. And he stayed to make sure they were all picked up. You know, he is the God of abundance. He doesn't give you just enough. He gives you more to overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? Anyway, some of you have never bought something in a market. You don't know how that goes because everything here is prepackaged and it's by weight. And if you buy 8 ounces, I buy 8 ounces, and we both get 8 ounces. But if you take your little cup measure in and you're buying, say, flour, and then they pack it down. And then they kind of shake it to make more room. You know what I'm talking about? Pack, 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 and then load it again till it's overflowing. That's what he was talking about. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give into your bosom. All right. Now, so with what measure you meet. Now, here is Jesus's, this is the mystery of the kingdom. To him who has, more is given. Okay. That sounds okay. To him who has not, even that which he has is taken away. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, wait a minute. So if my neighbor has $10,000 in the bank, God's going to give him another $5,000. But I'm over here and I've got $2,000 in debt. So God's going to pile on me another $3,000 in debt? That doesn't seem like Jesus. Jesus was a friend to the poor. Jesus was a friend to the oppressed, to the broken, to the beaten down, to the orphan, the widow. He provided for people. Why is he going along taking stuff if they don't have anything? That just, if you don't get religious about it, you think about it, that's kind of, that doesn't seem very Jesus-y, if you know what I mean. So that's why if it doesn't seem to make sense with his nature, you keep looking, because Jesus isn't one way, one place, and another way, another place. Jesus was always a giver. Jesus always wanted people to have. So what is the difference? To him who has, more is given. Okay, we usually kind of we think of Jesus more like Robin Hood. He takes from the rich and he gives to the poor. Here it is. He takes the rich and he gives them more, and then the poor he takes away from them. Now, first off, it just doesn't sound very Jesus-y, as I said. But the other thing is, it is an impossibility. If you have something, say, you know, you have 5 cookies, I can give you 2 more cookies. But if you don't have any cookies, how can I take cookies away from you? Can you tell it's almost snack time for me? Anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have 3 buckets of water, I can give you 2 more buckets. But if you're parched and your ground is dry and you got nothing to drink and you can't wash your face and hands, now how am I going to take water away from you? So we have to know it can't mean what we all think it means. It has to mean something else. This is the mystery. So now remember how we read the other ones. It's like how you hear what you hear. And then remember I had you underline that one, I think it was in Luke. Let me go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed how, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Okay? Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. All right. Now, so I guess I'll cut to the chase because I hope I whetted your appetite for understanding the mystery. And this is the mystery. It doesn't really matter what it is you have. It's how you perceive what you have. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you see. If I look at my closet and I say, I got nothing to wear, you know what? I ain't going to find anything to wear. But if I walk up to my closet and say, okay, Lord, I'm sure I'm overlooking something. There's probably a great outfit here. And then I'll sit and go, oh, well, that top will go with that skirt. Oh, and remember those other shoes that I don't wear except for. And all of a sudden, I have this stunning outfit. I know that seems a little superficial. But I want you to see, remember I talked about the widow, and she was complaining, and I don't have, and I don't have, and I don't have. She's looking at what she does not have. The prophet goes, and he calls her to a halt. The first thing he asks her is, what do you want? The next thing he asks her is, what do you have? Sometimes in our prayer life, I don't want to fault anybody here, but we can get so focused on what we don't have that we don't see what we do have. Amen? That's why I said when I can't, when there's something I don't have or something I need, something I can't do for myself, then I take a good hard look at what I have. Maybe I can make a phone call and cheer up somebody. Maybe I can make a batch of cookies. Maybe I can go out and shovel my neighbor's walk. I can't plow my drive, but I can shovel your walk. And then all of a sudden, boom, I look and the sun come out and the driveway's melted. God did that sovereignly. What I'm saying is, as long as the measure, with what measure you meet, is not spoons or shovels, it's your eye, it's your ear. How do you hear what you hear? How do you look at what you have? If you look at what you have and say, I don't have enough, then your measure will be not enough. And it doesn't matter what God does for you, you will always come up short. But when you look, I don't know if ever you're at that point of poor where you open your cupboards and it's like, oh, I got to make a supper and there ain't anything in here but maple syrup and pretzels or something. You know, it's like, how do I make a meal out of this? And then all of a sudden you kind of come together and you think, well, I could smash this up or I could do this. Oh, wait a minute. There's that one jar buried at the back, you know. And somehow a meal comes together and people say, this was the best thing I ever ate. Little do they know that you just made it up out of what you had. Because if you begin to open your cupboard and see, I don't have anything, then what is it that God will multiply to you? If you say, I have nothing, then he will multiply what? Nothing. What is zero? Zero. What's 10 times zero? Still zero. What's 100 times zero? Zero. That's why it isn't just what I have a hundredfold return. A hundredfold return of what? A hundredfold return of nothing is still nothing. That's why the widow's mite, it didn't matter how much she gave, it was the way she gave it. She was ready to empty out everything. Amen. So this was with what measure you meet. How do you see what you have? But if what you do is look at what you have and say, I have nothing. Oh, you think you have nothing? Then leave your house with the door wide open. Leave your car sitting down the driveway with the car unlocked. And then you'll find that when you thought you had nothing, there was still something somebody could steal. How many times do you know somebody? I'm sure nobody here would do that. But you complain about your job. You complain about your job or something. There's not enough hours or people are too mean or da-da-da-da-da. And then you lose that job and then you think, oh, man, that was a really great place to work. Remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They're there complaining that they got nothing, all right? They get out in the wilderness. They wanted God to take off their yoke of slavery. And now they're out there with nothing to eat, quote unquote. And they say, oh, man, remember the garlic. Okay, we got that. And remember all that tasty meat. Wait a minute. They may have had onions and garlic, but they didn't have no tasty meat. when they were in Egypt, they remembered Egypt differently than it was. If what you do is say, we may not have any meat right now, but I got a Moses, and that Moses has a Lord, and they're not going to leave me out here. So he struck the rock, and out comes water. He called down manna, and every morning it was there. We have to look at what we have, not at what we don't have. Because if you look at what you have and are grateful, that's what will multiply. If you look at what you have and you look at what you don't have, even that which you have or seem to have is taken away. You didn't even realize you had it till it was gone. Amen? The old saying, you don't miss the water till the wells run dry. You took water for granted. Well, for those of us who've had to haul water, carry it from a well in a jug on our head, we're grateful for it. We have this thing at the corporation where I'm part of, and they have like Thankful Thursdays, and you write what you're thankful for, and everybody's writing about their families or this or that. And I started mine with, I am grateful for electricity and plumbing. And I think, because all you have to do is try to live without it, and you'll be grateful for it. For the rest of my life, I will be grateful for electricity, because I lived without it for a few years. And so, that was in Africa, one in America. That was in Africa. I lived without electricity. Lived without running water. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful. Every time I flush the toilet, I say, thank you, Jesus. When you don't have that, it's amazing how grateful you can be. So it depends on how you look, with what measure you meet, that's what comes to you. So that you that have, more is given. But if you discount what you have and say you have nothing, then even that which you think you, what you seems you don't have, that's even taken away. That is the great mystery of the kingdom. This principle is tied to each time. Remember, he talks about the parable of the sower seed and soil. Every time he teaches that, and he says this parable opens all parables, and afterwards, right behind it, and when he's talking to his disciples and explaining the meaning of that parable, he, in each of these three times, he says, with what measure you meet, it's measured to you again. To him who has, more is given. To him who has not, even that which he has is taken away. So that, my friend, is the mystery. Sounds pretty simple now, but we don't see it because we're so busy looking at something else. I love Luke because he says, take heed how you hear what you hear, how you see what you see. Do you see things as an opportunity, or do you see them as oppression? Are you afraid of tomorrow, or are you grateful for tomorrow? This pandemic, if it's taught us anything, we have to be grateful for what we have. There were things people took for granted. Just go into the grocery store. And then that was something nobody thought of. Or they thought, oh my gosh, I got to go to the grocery again. Oh, I have to do this. And now you're like, thank you, Jesus, that there's a grocery to go to. How we see, how we hear, will determine the measure of that we meet and that which we have, that which we're grateful for, that which we see. More of that will be given. But if we count it all as nothing, then even that little bit we got is going to go bye-bye. That's a mystery. And Jesus put it right in there with that great parable so that if you understand that parable, you understand this mystery, the kingdom is open to you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our time together. We don't take it for granted. We count it as a blessing. Thank you for your word. Thank you. We know there are generations of people who have never had a printed word. Father God, from the time before the Reformation, the men like Tyndale who gave their lives that we could have a printed word in our lap. Father God, for the many of the oppressive governments where you can't own a Bible. Thank you, Father God. We do not take it for granted. And because we value it, we know you will open to us and give us more. Thank you for everyone who hears this, and not just what I say, but the heart with which I say it. Thank you, Father God, that we be together again next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have an eyeful and an earful this coming week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst. And like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.